audio as well. Okay. So, this week's double portion, Bahar and Bakuketu, Bakukate, is that double portion, and it's really can be seen as a continuation from last week's portion of Emor, because it continues a timeline, the eternal timeline, the prophetic timeline of the Lord. Whereas last week in Emor, we had what happens within a year. Here, it's stretched out over multiple years. We have the Shemitah, the sabbatical year, first. And that comes every 7 years. So let's take a look at that first. That comes right out of the top of the Torah portion, Leviticus 25:1. So we'll start there. Then Adonai said to Moses on Mount Sinai, speak to Bnei Israel and tell them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land is to keep a Shabbat to Adonai. For 6 years you may sow your field, and for 6 years you may prune your vineyard and gather its fruits. But in the 7th year there is to be a Shabbat rest for the land, a Shabbat to Adonai. You are not to sow your field or prune your vineyard. You are not to reap what grows by itself during your harvest, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. It is to be a year of Sabbath rest for the land. So we're told 6 years go out and farm your land. Dress them. Take care of them. Do all the things you need to do. Live off the bounty of the land. All that surplus. But the 7th year was to be different. Do nothing to the field. Only live off of what was growing on it on its own. You know, when we had potted tomato plants, there were some of those tomatoes that just fell to the bottom of the pot, and we just left them there. And the next year, all of a sudden, we got tomato plants out of them. Well, this is the same thing. For the things that just happened to have fallen on the ground that weren't reaped, where the people who didn't come behind the reapers didn't pick up, there would still be some seeds there. But they were not to dress them. They were not to weed. They were not to water. They didn't do anything, no pruning, no nothing to help it. Just let it be. Trust in Adonai that he would provide. Trust in Adonai that in the Sabbath he would provide. Does this sound familiar to you? Perhaps you recall hearing something very similar in Exodus. As the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, we see the establishment of Shabbat. All the way back, in fact, in Genesis, it was established first and then given to Israel in Exodus. So let's go back to Genesis first just to see where it was established. Genesis 2:1. So the heavens and the earth were completed along with the entire array. God completed on the 7th day his work that he made, and he ceased on the 7th day from all his work that he made. Then God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, for on it he ceased from all his work that God created for the purpose of preparing. So we see the establishment of Shabbat, and then we get the application of it, the extending of it to man in Exodus 20 within the Ten Commandments or the Ten Words. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember Yom Shabbat to keep it holy. You are to work 6 days and do all your work. But the 7th day is a Shabbat to Adonai your God. In it you shall not do any work, not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, nor the outsider that is within your gates. Nobody was to do anything on Shabbat. sounds just like the sabbatical year. Leave the land. And for that Shabbat, it took faith to believe that they were going to have food. Because remember, as they were coming out of Egypt, every day they were told to go out and pick manna from the ground, that it would settle at night. And they would go and they would pick the manna. But they were told not to pick more than just one day's worth. So every day they would go out and pick the manna. And if they picked more than one day's worth, it would go bad in the jar. It would rot. There'd be worms. It'd be icky. But on the sixth day, they were told just the opposite. Go out and pick for 2 days. Because on the seventh day, there wouldn't be anything. So here they are. But you just told us, but now the directions, different directions for different days. So they go out in faith. They pick 2 days worth of manna. And that manna lasted without rotting. But there were some without faith, and they went out into the field looking for manna on the seventh day, worried. And there was none. There was none. Now expand that faith that they had to have, that they were going to be provided for, but on that seventh day. Imagine the faith you need for the full year. On the seventh year, they were told not to plant. 6 years, you farm. But on the seventh year, you maintain what you stored up. And then you can eat off of what's on the land. Not only did you trust that Adonai would provide for you, but they provided for the family as well. Don't plant. Depend on what was stored up and what he's going to provide during that seventh year as it grows all on its own. But it's not just for you all of a sudden. Now all of a sudden the field is opened up to everybody to share, even if you don't know them. Leviticus 25, 6 and 7 says, whatever the Shabbat of the lamb produces will be food for yourself, for your servant, for your maidservant, for your hired worker, for the outsider dwelling among you, even for your livestock and for the animals that are in your land. All its increase will be enough food. What you have stored and what's growing on its own would feed your family, your livestock, your servants, and even the outsider among you. You may not even know the outsider, but they were allowed into your field and to take food for the day. In fact, you weren't even allowed to go into your food field and take more than just one day's worth of provisions. And while you were there, people you didn't even know would be coming to pick out of your field, because it's from the Lord. It's his provisions. Now, we come to the year of Jubilee, or Yovel in Hebrew, Leviticus 25:8. You are to count off 7 Shabbat, Shabbat being the plural of Shabbats. You are to count off 7 Shabbat of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time is 7 Shabbat of years, 49 years. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month, on Yom Kippur, you are to sound the shofar blast. You are to sound the shofar all throughout the land. You are to make the 50th year holy and proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. It is a jubilee to you, when each of you is to return to his own property and each of you is to return to his family. Now, if Shabbat needed faith to get through the day, and we said that the sabbatical year needed even more faith to get through than the Shabbat, could you imagine what the year of Jubilee actually was like? Because the year of Jubilee was different again. Again, you were not to plant on the year of Jubilee. That means 2 years in a row of not planting, 2 years in a row of depending on Adonai for what was stored up or what's just growing on the in the field without any help from you. It all came from him. That means it would be the third year before you got to harvest. That's a lot of faith that you need to have. That's a lot of trust that you need to have. But wait, there's more. Leviticus 25:13 continues the instruction. In this year of Jubilee, each of you will return to his property. If you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you are not to wrong one another. Corresponding to the number of years after the Jubilee, you are to purchase land from your neighbor's hand. He is to sell it to you based on the number of years of crops, in proportion to the extent of years that you may increase its price or decrease its price in proportion to the fewness of years, because he's selling the number of harvests to you. You are not to cheat one another, but fear your God, for I am Adonai your God. So, whenever land was being sold, the truth is you were not really selling the land. What you were doing was selling the harvest until the year of Jubilee. So if something was being sold 45 years before Jubilee, you'd have 45 harvests. You pay them enough to account for the 45 years of harvest. But if you were just 2 years before the year of Jubilee, the sale price would be very low because there's only two harvests left. And at the year of Jubilee, it would revert back to the person you purchased from. Not only that, but if there were people who came to you during the years and said, I can't afford to live, buy me. Buy me and I'll be your bondservant. Well, in the year of Jubilee, they would be released and they'd be allowed to go back to their original land. And if they had sold the land, they would be having that back too. So it's almost like a reset. So the person who's working the land, who's bought the harvest of the land, who's bought the what they were thinking of is a servant to work the land, all of a sudden, that's all gone. He's back to his original plot of land. And maybe they say, that's unfair. I worked really hard to gather the extra land. I worked hard to gather the extra people. But it's a reminder that it really is all from God, all from Adonai. Leviticus 25:23 tells us that. 25:23 of Leviticus says, moreover, the land is not to be sold permanently, because the land is mine. For you are sojourners with me. For any land you possess, you are to provide for redemption of the land. Now, the American Standard Version says this at the end of verse 23. For the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Now, you know, there's no punctuation on the Torah scroll. In the original writings, they didn't have punctuations, much like it is in modern Israel today. So, there are different ways of interpreting what's being said. So, let me show an example with a simple sentence. Let's eat, Mary. No punctuation. You know, it sounds different than with punctuation. So, if you have a comma in there, let's eat, comma, Mary. You're including Mary into the time of eating. You're eating along with her. But without a punctuation, without that comma, let's eat Mary. Now, Mary goes from eating with you and being included in the process of the meal, to being eaten and being on the menu. So it's very different. Well, when we look at Scripture, the same type of thing here can happen. Torah says, "For ye are strangers and sojourners with me." So some commentaries say that Adonai is a stranger and sojourner on the land with them. Others put in, insert a comma. So you're strangers of the land, and therefore you're sojourners with Adonai. Now, I go with the second one, because I don't think Adonai is a stranger in any land. He created everything. They may not necessarily know him personally, but the land knows him. He's not a stranger to the land. He created everything. But it says we're not to sell because it's his permanently. That's backed up by Psalm 50, verse 10. "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains. Everything moving in the field is mine. If I was hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains." If the land's not ours, and Adonai owns everything, including the land, how can we sell it? And if everything is Adonai's, the land and everything on it, that includes ourself. So how can we sell ourself, or how can any man be purchased or sold? We were purchased by Adonai's blood, by Yeshua's blood. We are not our own. And we see this in 1 Corinthians. So I'm going to read two different verses here. Verse 7:23 of 1 Corinthians. "You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men." Don't sell yourself. 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Ruach HaKodesh who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." We're told that we're already owned. We were purchased with a price. It says that in both places in 1 Corinthians. How can someone who does not own their own bodies sell themselves? It's impossible to sell something you don't own. The Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee were not just times of rest. It was a blessing. We're blessed because we get to return to the land. We're blessed because we get ourselves back from anything that we've sold ourselves to. It was also a blessing for the poor. You know, every sabbatical year, the land would lay fallow and they would come in, as I had said, and be able to eat every day from a field. So it was not just the rest that the land got. It was providing for those who were poor. And the Lord didn't just provide. He provided the best that there was in the crop. They could pick anything. It wasn't just the fringes as in normal years. So what it all comes down to is the year of Jubilee was actually a reset. A reset by returning things back to where they were and who they belonged to. Because all belongs to him. Not only does he own all the land, but everything in the land. It's not just a reset, it's a reconnecting. Not just reconnecting with ourselves, but reconnecting with Him as well. Look what it says in the Torah portion about men in Leviticus 25:42. For they are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They are not to be sold in slave sale. You are not to rule over them with harshness, but fear your God. The Lord owns it all the people, all the land, everything. So does it really say we're not to rule over people with harshness? Or does it say don't rule over people? Because how we treat things and others, that's how we're treating Adonai's things. And how we treat Adonai's things is actually how we treat Him. Has Adonai set us free from sin just so that we can treat other people poorly? Or to treat His things poorly? We're placed here not only to worship Him, but to care for His things, including His people. One of the things to remember to help us treat what is His well is this. Don't let where we live determine how we live. We live in this world, but we're not to live in our sin, and we're not to live like sinful people. We're to be the ones who are free from our sins, not because of anything that we've done, and not because of anything of ourselves, because of who He is and what He has done. We should be reminded of this when we look at Scripture about the Sabbath day, about the sabbatical year, about the year of Jubilee, that 50th year. And we are to depend upon Adonai for everything, because we gain everything from Him, especially our escape from that price of sin. Raul Shaul tells us in Romans 6:22, but now, having been set free from sin and having become enslaved to God, you have your fruit resulting in holiness, and the outcome is eternal life. For sin's payment is death, but God's gracious gift is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Because of Yeshua's blood, the price was paid. The price for sin in our personal lives. And we must remember to live out our life like we're owned by Him, like we're enslaved to Him, like He bought us. Shaul says we're enslaved to God, which means we should be helping others. Shaul says this in another letter, in his letter to Titus, in Titus 2:14. It says, He gave Himself for us so that He might redeem us from every lawless deed, so that He might purify us for Himself, a chosen people, zealous for good deeds. Adonai chose for Himself a people who should be zealous for doing good deeds. Who are the ones He's chosen? It's everyone who accepts Yeshua as the Messiah and who paid the price for our own sin and who's cleansed us by the blood so that we're no longer in that sin. Yeshua is our jubilee, our freedom from the debt of sin. He allows us to return to Adonai, which is the reason for all Scripture. Because just as Adam and Eve were removed from the presence of Adonai by being removed from the Garden of Eden, all of Scripture is to get us back to that Garden of Eden, back to His eternal presence. We're told Adonai's year of favor when the release of all men who are captive by sin are released. We see in Isaiah 61 and then quoted again in Luke 4. And here's what it says in Luke 4, speaking of Adonai, speaking of Yeshua, starting in verse 16. And then he came to Nazareth, where he had been raised. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on Shabbat, and he got up to read. It would have been the Haftorah portion he was reading. When the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, The Ruach Adonai is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of Adonai's favor. The year of Adonai's favor, or the year of Jubilee, is what we're all looking forward to. Scripture, with that progression of Shabbat, that seventh day, to the Shemitah, the sabbatical year, on the seventh year, to the Yovel, the Jubilee year. It looks forward to liberty. It's God's timeline for all eternity, bringing us to liberty in Him. It points out our dependence on Adonai to provide for us, not just now, not just in the state we're in currently, but for all eternity. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that you provide for all of us, that your plan is for the year of Adonai's favor, that final year of Jubilee, that time where all men will be set free. I believe it's the time when those who know you are called up to be before you. And it's ushered into the presence of the throne. Now, unfortunately, those who don't know you will also be called up. But they will not be ushered before the foot of your throne. Instead, they will be expelled from your presence forever, into a place of fire, a place of suffering for all eternity. And I know you are not the God who wants that, because we saw in the Torah portion, Bahar, that you give chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. And I know it goes even further than that. It's eternal. So, but it's only while we're still here on the earth that that chance is given. So Ruach HaKodesh, I ask that you soften people's hearts today, that they would accept the blood atonement of Messiah Yeshua, that they would be prepared for that year of Jubilee. Ruach, help each of us to prepare not just ourselves, but to do those good deeds of going out to tell other people that they too need to be prepared, that they too need to accept the blood of Messiah Yeshua, that there is a plan for their life, and the plan is one of love and compassion, but they need to take the proper steps in order for that plan to be fulfilled. Father, we just thank you that you've made it known to us. We just ask that all the world will see and know who you are, who your son Yeshua is, and the help of the Ruach HaKodesh while we're here on this world. I just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.